Hello, everybody. This is Marshall Poe. I'm the founder and editor of the New Books Network. I've published several academic books, and one of the things I found frustrating is my inability to get them picked up in the press. There really is no PR service specifically oriented toward academic books. Recently, however, I had the opportunity to work with a PR firm in New York, RLM, on a book that I recently published. And I have to say, they did a remarkable job at a very low price. And this got me thinking, I wonder if the New Books Network and RLM could provide a service that would promote academic books. So the folks at RLM and I put our heads together and we came up with a package. It is specifically targeted toward people like you, people who write academic books. So if you're interested, you should go to the NBN website and click publish your book, and there you'll find some information about the services that the NBN and RLM are offering. What we really want to do is provide you with value for money. As far as we know, no such service exists. This is the first of its kind, and we really hope it is successful, and we hope that it helps you get the word out about your academic book.
Most people don't think of technology when they think of the ideas of pleasure or enjoyment. And yet, technology plays a significant role in how we find pleasure in the modern world. If we think of things like television or movies or computers, all of that is technology, and it is an important part in the ways that we find enjoyment or leisure. At least is what Oscar Julin and Barry Brown argue in their new book, Enjoy Machines. So today on New Books in Technology, we're going to talk about what the meaning of pleasure and enjoyment is and how that relates to technology. And we're going to talk to one of the authors, Barry Brown. This is New Books in Technology. I'm your host, Jasmine McNeely. One of the things that we like to do on New Books in Technology is always get a view of who the authors are, right? So give us some of your background. Who are you? tell us a little about yourself.
Thanks, Desmond. It's really nice to be on the test. So myself and Oscar, we're old friends. Mm-hmm. As often when you work together on a book project, it's a good thing if you know each other. Mm-hmm. but we both myself and Oscar work in this area of human computer interactions. So we spend a lot of time thinking about the connections between humans and technologies of different sorts. Oscar works in Stockholm, and when we met, I was at University of California, San Diego. And we both had this interest for a long time. We had felt that if you look at people using computers, they seem to use them mainly for things like games or Facebook or things that in different ways seem enjoyable. And so we thought to ourselves, wouldn't it be kind of nice to see if we could look at this side of all these kind of complex technologies that we were working with. Mm-hmm. I'm you can probably tell from my accent, I'm Scottish originally, but got swept over, as many people do, to the United States. And Oscar through that time stayed in Stockholm. And in fact, actually, after we finished the book, Oscar invited me to join him at the research center that we both now work at in Stockholm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that's cool. So before we get into even the particulars of the book, you mentioned that you were interested in studying, or that you do study, technology and how people interact with technology. And I just wanted to know if you could perhaps give us a definition of what you all consider technology. Is it a very narrow definition, or is it a broader definition of what to be considered technology, or machines, as you call them?
So some people take a very wide view of that word, because, you know, you can think of writing as a technology, can't you? That can be kind of quite useful to think about it that way, because, you know, writing comes along and things like the printing press come along, and you might know the history of these different communication technologies up to the present day. In the book, though, we are talking about what kind of get loosely get called information technologies. So, of course, the mobile phone is one that perhaps some of your listeners might be using right now to listen to the podcast.
Sure.
But we, for the purposes of keeping things brief, we tend to drop the, you know, the information technology and just focus on, you just call it technology. And actually, one of the things in the book is that, we talk a little bit about is how there's, with things like technology, there's lots of competing definitions that you can have, and you can spend a long time getting wrapped up in defining, oh, you know, is this technology or is that technology? And sometimes that can be a bit misleading. Our approach has always been just go out and see what people themselves are saying or doing and see what makes sense to them. Mm-hmm. And that was really the motivation in a lot of the book.
So the book is Enjoying Machines. Why Enjoying Machines? What is the goal behind the book?
So if you look at the book, so there's in the book, we go through all sorts of different activities where people enjoy themselves. And so in the one of the first chapters, we jump in and we look at people hunting elks. So Oscar spent time with hunters in the north of Sweden. And they use one of the most, perhaps for a Scotsman anyway, one of the most scary of technologies, one of the most scary of machines, mm-hmm. and that's guns. And they spend their time in the forest hunting animals. Interestingly, in Swedish hunting, which was a thing I learned with working with Oscar, you're only allowed to fire the gun once during the whole hunt. So they work with the hunt to try and make sure that they fire the gun correctly and at the right time. But they're using these rather scary machines, guns, but they're also using GPS and they're using walkie-talkies and they're using mobile phones and they're using the internet. So when we're coming to decide what to call the book, we wanted to make sure that we weren't leaving too much out, that we could think about really the ways in which all sorts of machines are kind of saturated in how we enjoy ourselves.
Okay. Now, you talk about pleasure or enjoyment, right? And I would think that most people wouldn't connect, usually, the word pleasure with technology or machines unless it's being used in kind of a lurid fashion. So pleasure and machines, how do you all get the connection or make use of this?
You know, it's true, isn't it? When we think about these things, you tend to, you think about work, don't you? You think about, when people say technology, you say, oh, you know, I have to go and use this spreadsheet and maybe it's not going to be so much fun. If you look though, the big new technologies that people have started using in the last 10 years, well, the two biggest ones are the mobile phone, and then also the thing that people spend a lot of time using their mobile phone for, which is Facebook, mm-hmm. And Twitter and the like. So you're seeing now, I think this is, you know, the thing that really made us kind of inspired us to write the book is that before we used to think of technology and machines as being these things that were in factories, these things that were in the office. And if they were at the home, then maybe they were just there for, you know, doing the home accounting. But now pretty much all of us in our pockets have these machines that we're playing games on, that we're contacting with friends and family. We're actually using them to enjoy ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so we felt it was time to really kind of try and take that center stage.
Okay. Now, the idea that pleasure is social is one that runs throughout the book. Pleasure is a social, plays a social function or is a social activity. And that tech assists with this seems to run kind of counter to popular ideas about how tech has made us antisocial, right? So I was wondering, like, how you all get to the idea that tech is, in fact, social when we've had books, you know, Bowling Alone, various other books about, you know, the rise in certain kinds of technologies that are making us lonelier, more depressed, and, you know, basically antisocial.
Yeah, it's a little bit of an industry now, is this kind of of course, it talks to these worries that come along whenever there's a new technology. We worry that that these things are making us lonely. They're atomizing us. Bowling Alone, Putnam's work was talking about the television. Mm-hmm. And of course, at the time when the television first started to get prominence, people were really worried that it was tearing apart the family. It was making us lonely, that we wouldn't be having any social interactions with others, that we would maybe be losing our friends. Now, the thing with that is that I think it's a little bit conservative to think that that's all about a thing, like a technology that's causing that. Mm-hmm. You know, actually, lots of things are going on in our contemporary world, and some of them may mean that, you know, for example, we get to spend less time with our families and friends. But I'm not sure if one can pin it on the television, mm-hmm. and I'm not sure one can pin it on the mobile phone or the laptop computer. So actually, what we try and do in the book is go out and look and see, well, what are people actually doing with these devices? And so Oscar spent time doing field work on people who ride motorbikes. And they're kind of an unusual bunch of people, it turns out. They spend their time driving up and down highways in these big, expensive motorbikes. But one of the things that surprised me is that we didn't think of them as being a very sociable group. But they actually spent a lot of their time on the internet arranging where to meet. Because it turns out that if you've got one of these bikes, what you really want to do is show that bike off to other people. And the way you can do that is by meeting like-minded bikers online. He looked at these web forums where people would arrange to meet. And indeed, actually, Oscar built a technology that would run on your phone, that when you were on your bike and you drove past another biker, you would exchange a picture of you on your bike with them, and they would get a picture of you. So you got this little social wink that you could do as you drove past them on the motorbike.
Oh, wow.
So all through the book, we look at these different places where the internet or mobile phones or different technologies have been introduced, and we find actually, maybe to a little bit to our surprise, that they're not pushing people away from each other, that actually in some cases they're bringing people together, like with these motorcyclists.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I think is important to note for everyone is that the book involves very interdisciplinary research. So it's not just from one field of study, say a human-computer interaction, but that it includes research from economics, psychology, leisure studies, and perhaps you could like detail like why that's an important part of your study and then your program.
Yeah, I know it's a good question. Because we're not the first people to look at enjoyment. In the last few years, particularly in economics, there's been this kind of interest in working out why people are happy, when people are happy, and particularly in economics, there's been a movement to measure happiness. So there's these worldwide happiness surveys that are done where essentially what they do is they go up to different people and they ask them on a 5-part scale, how happy are you? Are you unhappy? Very unhappy? Okay, very happy, and so on. And so they've built up these happiness maps of the world, where you can look at different countries and see how happy they are. This is a really interesting move, actually. And I think for economists, it was a big deal because they'd got used to this idea that you could look at different economies and you could just look at them in terms of how much money was getting generated or who had the money where and when. And it turns out there's a little bit of a paradox there that that actually sometimes more money might not necessarily make individuals, families, households, cities or countries any more happy, that actually there's other aspects of life that are intervening. So we read this work and we thought, this is interesting, isn't it? This is kind of a kind of what maybe perhaps what you wouldn't expect. But we're trying to see, well, the first question we thought was, well, what is happiness here? Mm-hmm. What is happiness for different people? Before we jump in and try and measure it, maybe it might be better just to go and have a little look at what happiness is. And so as there was this kind of absence, we it gave us an opportunity to go and look out and actually, so and in the book, we spend most of our time going to the different places where people enjoy themselves and trying to see what it is about those things that make them enjoy themselves. Mm-hmm. And I think, as you said, the thing that comes through time and time again is that enjoyment is social. And the thing that really enhances pleasurable activities, be it going on a fairground ride or being with your family or even watching television, we do them collectively with others.
Mm-hmm. Now, you do get
so
it.
There's other, yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, yeah, we draw a lot on economics, and but I should actually say that neither myself or Oscar are economists. We both have a training in the social sciences, but also work designing and building computer systems and different technologies. We work in a research lab that designs new sorts of mobile devices and new types of mobile software. So we've always had this interest in building software, building machines, if you will, mm-hmm. as well as studying how and why people might like them or enjoy their life with them.
Mm-hmm. And you do give a range of examples, ethnographic examples in the book, from the deer hunting or elk hunting to the games and gamings, and also in talking about tourism for enjoyment. What was the importance of having these ethnographic qualitative examples in the book?
I think that it comes back to this thing about we don't really maybe think of technology as being enjoyable when we first think about technology. And there's a large literature out there which is very critical about the impact of technology. And I think a lot of it's very well researched and well based. But the slightly negative impact it's had is that seldom is technology designed with a real close attention to enjoyment. Perhaps one of the only exceptions is games. But just to give you an example, in one of the chapters, we spend a long time talking about the ways in which technology and family life go together. Mm-hmm. And we'd been spent quite a bit of time trying to design technologies that might make families work better, and we worked on a system called the whereabouts clock, which was a clock that would sit in your kitchen, which would tell you where members of your family were, and it was a really sort of simple. It was a little bit like a kind of Harry Potter style device, and it would just. When we put it into families' homes, we found that the one thing that families really liked about this was that it chimed like an old grandfather clock, and it chimed when family members would go from one place to another, and it gave them this lovely feeling of that everything was as it should be, that the family members were getting to work at time, that they were coming home from school, and we thought as we worked on that project, we thought, well. Isn't this interesting that this is a technology that's actually supporting family life? It's supporting the family be a family. Particularly for those who worked at home or were at home helping with childcare, the clock worked as something that like, gave them a connection. And they got great, you know, they got great pleasure out of this connection that they had to the rest of the family who might have been distant and in some cases when families were separated, there was quite a large distance between family members. Mm-hmm. So, again, it was this thing, if you start thinking about enjoyment and technology, it opens a little door to think about, for example, how a technology might make a family, might improve family life. We don't normally think about things like that, do we? Even though, if we think about something like Facebook, one of its big roles is as a family technology.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, you're talking about enjoying machines. You're talking about pleasure and how technology adds to pleasure or has been used for pleasurable experiences. And it reminds me of this. I don't know if you've paid attention to a lot of the memes that are going on online And it's like an updated Maslow's hierarchy of needs, where now added to Maslow's hierarchy is Wi-Fi, right? So for people to have pleasure, one of the things they have to have now is access to the internet, and obviously mobile as well. But I was just wondering, like, you know, that's a joke, but at the same time, it's very real. So technology is not just used for pleasure, but it is kind of a necessity in the minds of some people to function, not even going to the pleasure state, but to function. So I was wondering.
Like, I remember it.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I remember when and I'm sure you'll remember yourself when the first mobile phones got into prominence, and we were all really quite worried, weren't we, about what was happening with the mobile phone. And I remember one of the one of the stories I heard was that there was a famous sports personality who was on a train, and he was speaking very loudly into his mobile phone, and he was annoying everyone on the train, and then his phone started ringing. So actually, he wasn't on a phone call. He was just pretending to make himself sound popular. And you get these stories that happen, I think, when you get new technologies like Wi-Fi, because we worry a little bit about, well, what are they doing to our social life? What are they doing? Are we becoming dependent on them? Is this the new, like you say, the new thing that we all need? We need Wi-Fi, or we can't function. I think we have to be a little bit skeptical, because it sounds a little bit quaint now, doesn't it, to be scared of the mobile phone?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as people in the time were scared of the impact of television, it doesn't mean we shouldn't be skeptical. And I think, particularly around issues around privacy, we really have to be concerned and active. But also we have to make a realization that a lot of these technologies are making people happy. The reason why we maybe go on Facebook is perhaps not because we're dopes or that we're addicted. Maybe actually we just quite like hearing what our friends and family are doing.
Right, right. So enjoy machines. You all set about constructing or creating what you call a new program for studying enjoyment, right? I was wondering, like, could you explain why that's necessary?
So here's the puzzle, and maybe your more academic listeners will be thinking this, and maybe you think this yourself. To look at enjoyment isn't very serious, is it? there's a certain lightness to it that maybe makes it a little bit incompatible with academic study. I've done a lot of policy focused research over the years, and my kind of policy focused colleagues were very skeptical when I said I wanted to do something on enjoyment, because mm-hmm. you know, there's major social problems of inequality, of prejudice, structural issues to do with the world that need addressing. So it can seem a little bit maybe naive to look at enjoyment. But I think the challenge then is that there's the academic problem of seriousness, mm-hmm. that while enjoyment is actually, for many of us, the reason why we get out of bed, and many of us, first thing we do in the morning is check Facebook or look at new memes, this seems a little bit incompatible with our desire to be serious, and at least for myself and Oscar, who are academics, to be serious academics. Mm-hmm. So we felt that we needed a sense, a little bit of a different program, a different way of going about academic work to try and overcome this and try and take enjoyment seriously, because it is a serious thing. If you look at when people in developing nations, when they get money, when they get a little bit more resources, the first technology they buy isn't they don't necessarily buy books. They don't necessarily buy, things to help them in work. The first thing they buy is a television.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why is because the television is such a great and easy device for getting pleasure. You can put it on at any time of day, and you can hear sounds and images from all around the world. So, well, of course, I think we need to be cautious and skeptical, I think we also have to acknowledge the importance of enjoyment in our world.
Mm-hmm. Have you found, or do you find that because your program of study is an interdisciplinary program, do you find pushback, I guess would be maybe one of the words, from various other fields that are traditional, say leisure studies or economics or psychology, because of the interdisciplinary nature or the multidisciplinary nature of your program?
One of the disputes that we got into was, I mentioned earlier, the work that we'd done on family technology. Mm-hmm. And one of the things, if you look at the sociology of the family, which is one of the areas that we've worked a little bit in, it's rare for anyone to acknowledge that there's anything pleasurable about family life. And it's funny, really, because of course, if you talk to people who have a family, then often they'll acknowledge, of course, no one's family is perfect, and there's all sorts of difficulties one has, but also the chance of having children is one of the great pleasures of our lives. Mm-hmm. But it's almost absent from much of the literature on the family. And as I said, we put it down to this, in part, this academic problem of seriousness that it doesn't give you great gravitas to talk about the pleasure that one gets from family. But we think it is really fundamental to understanding the motivations. Indeed, why would anyone have a family? In part, it's surely because of the great pleasures one gets from being close to one's children and one's partners.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things that you talk about when you're talking about how you all were creating this new program for study and enjoyment is that you wanted to avoid some specific things. And one of those was called the philosopher's problem, and that you didn't want to like make these categoric definitions of experiences of pleasure or enjoyment. And I was wondering if you could talk about that for a minute, because I think like when people think of enjoyment, they think of, you know, certain things pop in their head, or what pleasurable experiences, some certain picture or pictures pop into their head. So why would you want to avoid that?
And we should talk a little bit about the when one sometimes thinks about enjoyment and pleasure, well, one's mind might wander to the sex.
Right.
So we should definitely talk about that in a minute. But before I jump into that, the philosopher's problem was, well, here's the thing. When you're doing academic work, you want to make sure you've got your definitions right, don't you? And you want to make sure your terms are properly defined. And that was one of our first puzzles when we were writing this book, was there's a lot of different words you can use here around pleasure and enjoyment. So there's pleasure, enjoyment, well-being, satisfaction. And the philosopher's problem is really that, should one spend the time defining all these terms? Is that the most important job to do?
Mm-hmm.
And we found great assistance. There's actually there was a philosopher who helped us with the philosopher's problem. There was a philosopher called Gilbert Ryle who wrote a very nice piece on the condition of enjoyment. And he put it this simple way. He says, now, if you've got a, you know, something that's complex, like, so think of like cricket. There's lots of different players in cricket. There's the batsmen, there's the bowlers, you know, there's all these different people who are involved in cricket. But if you want to understand that game, you've got to understand cricket. You've got to understand how the whole thing works together. And as he writes, he says, if you want to understand enjoyment, you can spend your time chasing the variations between these different words. You can work out what's the difference between well-being and enjoyment and some other term. But maybe the real thing is just to try and engage with the whole enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're not confused or surprised with the idea of enjoyment. If someone says to us, oh, I really enjoyed the cricket match yesterday. Well, I wonder why anyone would say that. But if someone did say that, well, one wouldn't be too confused, would you? You'd understand what it means. And I think that's kind of key. It's really, you've got to understand the whole enterprise. So the philosopher's problem was all this. We didn't want to spend our time working on all these definitions. And we decided in the end, the way to find out what enjoyment was to go out and participate and listen to and talk to people enjoying themselves in different places.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, we've been talking about enjoying machines, we've been talking about the terms and the interdisciplinary nature, but one of the things we've instituted on New Books and Technology is called the elevator pitch. And the elevator pitch is, say someone had just tuned in now to the podcast and or maybe really just started listening right now, whatever the case may be. You have 1 minute to tell them why they should buy the book or go to the library or otherwise read the book. Why should they check out Enjoying Machines?
Oh, good. That's a good question. So we all enjoy ourselves. It's maybe one of the biggest motivations in our life is pleasure. Mm-hmm. We might think of ourselves as being serious or intellectual, but also we are beings that enjoy ourselves, and that's what motivates us to do different things. If we look at the way that we enjoy ourselves today, technology is such a constant part. We go on Facebook or we play a video game, or even if we're walking in the country, we might countryside, we might take out our phone just to check where we are using GPS. Even the American military who tried to put satellites in the sky to track ballistic missiles found that the actual main use of GPS was people enjoying themselves, tourists trying to find where they were. So we enjoy ourselves, and if you look... Hi there. Sorry, did I get cut off?
Yeah. You put me on hold, but that's okay.
Oh, I think I had an incoming call, so that's why I went on hold. I think I got as far as saying that. Yeah, we enjoy ourselves. Enjoyment's a key part of our lives. Technology is this essential part of enjoyment, and in this book, we really just wanted to go out and find out, why do we enjoy machines so much, mm-hmm. and where are the places where we enjoy ourselves with technology? And so we look at games, we look at family life, we look at tourism, we look at all these different places where we're enjoying ourselves with our technology.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good to me. Okay. So what's next for you both?
So I think we've got more and more interested in the mobile phone, and I think it used to be that when we thought of technology, we thought of the laptop or the desktop, and now I think that's all fading away, and now it's the mobile that's more and more important in our lives. A lot of the discussions around mobile phones are talking at length about how we're being distracted by them and how they're disturbing our lives. So we really want to kind of try and look at that head on. So we're spending a lot of time now looking at people using their mobiles and looking at all the conversations that start because people have mobile phones, looking at the ways that mobile phones are making our lives more enjoyable. And that's enjoyable role it has in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So where can people find more writings from you all? Do you have a website or?
Sure. The best place to check out is if you go to www.mobilelifecenter.org, and that talks a little bit about that work there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, this has been Barry Brown, one of the authors of Enjoy Machines, along with Oscar Julin. And Barry, thank you for coming on New Books and Technology.
Great. Thanks, Desmond. It's been great to talk to you.
Thank you very much. And have a great week. We'll be right back.